It is a State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. We get up to speed now on the campaign trail, the messaging, the candidate debates, the fall's legislative races and statewide elections for governor, U.S. Senate, attorney general, among other races, taking place November 8th. Join in 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Zach Schultz is here, reporter and anchor for PBS Wisconsin's Here and Now. Zach, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the governor's race. We saw their construction firm owner, Tim Michaels, appearing with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis last night in Green Bay ahead of a Packers game. What impact does that have? Does it help or hurt the Michaels campaign?
Well, they have to believe it absolutely helps. They're trying to get as big and broad a message out to the DeSantis-style appeal to Republican voters across Wisconsin. That's definitely more in the Trump lane. And obviously, Michaels went after the Trump endorsement in the primary. He was happy to have it. And while he may have moved away from a lot of those Trump ideals when he's appealing to moderate and independent voters, he still needs that raw Republican base to turn out in force for him. And having Ron DeSantis here to campaign for him is not a bad idea when he's talking to that part of his audience.
As you see Michaels challenging Democratic Governor Evers, what is the latest that you're examining in the governor's race? What are you watching?
Well, we're taking a look at quite a few issues. One of the big ones, I think, is education. They have vastly different plans. Obviously, Governor Evers comes from a public education background. He's introduced a plan to pump $2 billion back into public education, whereas Tim Michaels is coming from a completely different approach. He's talking more about expanding the amount of influence that parents can have in their child's classroom and in the school. He's talking about going after some of the institutions that support public schools, with the Department of Public Instruction and some of the other groups that have a lot of influence in the classroom. And he's talking a lot less about the funding mechanisms that support our public schools.
The two-thirds funding, which the state has tried to get to. What does Michael say about teacher pay and other critical areas that districts are really scrambling to put budgets together for?
Well, and one of the rare chances I got to actually talk with Tim Michaels about education, I asked him directly about the teacher shortages, and he talked it was more about the feeling that teachers are getting too many rules and too many things passed down from DPI and other places, and they weren't getting enough support. But he really didn't talk about pay or about how teachers may feel like they're being talked to by parents. And those are some of the basic things that Democrats and Governor Evers have been talking about, is that just pay them well and give them a little bit of respect and teachers will be just fine and we'll see more come back into the profession.
Let's look at polling. Polling is quite close. Evers maintaining a slight lead over Michaels among likely voters in the latest Marquette poll. And the Michaels campaign says support for him has risen quickly in the polls since he entered the race in April. What is your assessment of what the polls say?
Well, the polling is one of those things where we always have to take it with a grain of salt, and the campaigns are even pushing that message. In his stump speech, Tim Michaels talks about, well, if the polls show us close, we're probably actually leading. And this plays into some of the Trump Republican idea that the polls underestimate the support of true Republicans, of those Trump Republicans. And that's because the polls were off in both 2016 and 2020. And so Republicans want to play up this idea that they're not talking to you. They're not hearing your voice. So we're actually winning. And right now, there is a question. We won't know until the election of whether the polls are 100% accurate. And obviously, polls shift over time. It's quite common for polls to show a race tightening as we get closer and closer to election. So what it says right now may not be what we see on election night.
And there is 1-hour-long debate next month for voters to have a chance to hear from the candidates together on stage before the general election. What do you make of the one debate on issues?
It's really fascinating because typically in a very close election, we would see the challenger, Tim Michaels in this case, want more debates. Usually they want more opportunities to put themselves up there against the incumbent. And in a tight election where Tony Evers actually has a pretty good approval rating among most voters, you'd think he'd want to be seen more. But I think it's a reflection of politics today that candidates would rather have a tighter control on the message that they are sending out through advertising or social media or controlled media events rather than risk a big mistake on a big debate stage where they can't control every question that's being asked or how they appear versus the other candidate. And one debate is a chance to say, hey, I'm willing to meet this person. Three debates, they may think that's just too many chances for a big mistake.
Too many openings for risk there. We're talking about state politics and the upcoming election with PBS Wisconsin's Zach Schultz. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Zach, let's turn to the AG race, the Attorney General race. We have incumbent Josh Call seeking to fend off a challenge from Republican Fond du Lac District Attorney Eric Toney. What is happening in this election?
Well, as is typical with almost every Attorney General's race, they're just trying to find some oxygen in the room. When there are really high profile races for governor and for U.S. Senate, then sometimes it's difficult for them to get through to voters that this race is very important in how our state is run, and it is separate from the other races. More often than not, we see the Attorney General follow along and win at the same candidate as the governor. The only exceptions to that, you have to go back to 2006, and then before that, back to the Tommy Thompson era, which is obviously a completely different era in politics. So we typically see them just try and make sure that people know that that race is out there, that there is something to distinguish them. And if there are a handful of voters that may vote one way at the top of the ticket, that, hey, feel free to cross over down ballot.
The candidates are sparring about expanding the State Department of Justice's authority to prosecute crimes. What are they saying?
Well, Republican candidate Eric Toney would like to see expanded ability. He's trying to play up on this idea that Republicans are saying that there's too much crime in Milwaukee, that the problem is that these Democratic attorney general or district attorneys at the local level aren't doing enough to battle crime, and that as an attorney general, he would authorize the Department of Justice to go in and do more in Milwaukee to battle crime. So he wants expanded authority because they can't just walk in as the Department of Justice and take over every case and try and prosecute them. They usually have to a limited number of types of crimes that they can actually prosecute. He wants expanded ability to do that. And Josh Call's response is, hey, I'll take that, but it should be statewide. It shouldn't be just one county. It's not just a Milwaukee issue. If the Department of Justice needs more authority, it needs to be everywhere.
Call filed the lawsuit seeking to undo the 1849 state law banning abortion. What effect do you think will abortion, the issue, have on this race?
It depends on whether voters are voting based on abortion or not. And that's a look at all the races could be impacted by abortion. So absolutely, the attorney general's race has a big impact. Whoever is the attorney general will impact how the state proceeds along these lines with lawsuits and whether the Department of Justice would step in and try and enforce the 1849 ban that's on the books there right now, where the incumbent Democrat Josh Call has said he would not. He's not going to, in his words, waste Department of Justice time and manpower to go and prosecute these kind of cases for a law that he says isn't valid. So it absolutely is important in that race as well.
Zach Schultz with us, reporter and anchor for PBS Wisconsin's Here Now. It's our guide to the campaign trail and election administration, voter registration, access to the ballot box. Join in on the fall election, what you see shaping up, 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the IDS Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A suit brought Thursday against the Wisconsin Elections Commission takes aim at them using a national voter registration form, arguing it violates state law by not asking for information about felony convictions. Join in on state politics at odds with election administration in our state and what that means ahead of November. 800-642-1234. PBS Wisconsin reporter and anchor Zach Schultz stays with us. Zach, the State Elections Commission recently adopted this new guidance for clerks on absentee ballots, and a federal judge had ruled voters with disabilities must be allowed assistance returning absentee ballots. You talked with Commissioner Mark Thompson, a Democratic appointee.
How can we create a hurdle? Aren't we poking the federal judge? I mean, how do we change the rules for disabled voters in 2022 when they've never had to do this in 2016, 2018, or 2020?
So clearly a lot weighing there on Thompson's mind. What did you take away from that interaction?
Well, the members of the Elections Commission are in a tough spot because it was set up to be a partisan panel. And yet they have to try and find a way to give nonpartisan electoral advice to the clerks because the clerks are nonpartisan and the way that our elections should operate is nonpartisan. So they have to obviously understand the partisan influence of what a federal judge's decision might mean and which way the individual parties may feel about certain policies. But they have to actually make sure that it's fair and equal across the state. So it's always a tough way of trying to thread that needle when you're dealing with partisan members on what should be nonpartisan issues.
Is the various litigation we're seeing over absentee ballot rules, is it settled before November, or could we see more changes in the coming weeks?
Well, I think it's fair to say that nothing is ever settled when it comes to ballots and clerks in Wisconsin elections. And you know, all you have to do is talk to a clerk for a couple of minutes and they just shake their head. They can't worry about what may come next, which lawsuit, which decision at any given moment, but they know that things could change in the next 10 minutes. It's kind of like the weather in Wisconsin. Just wait a little bit. It'll change.
So as you report on elections, are you hearing elected officials, candidates, voters, residents of Wisconsin talking about election conspiracies, talking about voter fraud?
And it depends on which audience a particular candidate is speaking to. We heard a lot about election fraud, and a lot of these conspiracies were mentioned in the Republican primary, especially the Republican primary for governor, where a couple of the candidates were very much deeply in bed with some of these conspiracy theories. But since then, since Tim Michaels has won that, if he's speaking to a more conservative audience, like last night at the rally with Ron DeSantis, then he's going to play up some of those conspiracies. And while he may not mention any particular, he'll just say in general, there was fraud and we're going to fix that. And I've got a plan. And we're going to fix that. But when he's talking with your average audience, I ran into him on Saturday at the Bayview Bash. We were there for a completely different story. And all of a sudden, Tim Michaels, the candidate's walking down the street in South Milwaukee, shaking hands and talking to people. And he wasn't talking about election fraud there. He wasn't trying to promote any conspiracy theories there. He was trying to shake hands and meet as many people and look like a nice guy that they should vote for. So it all depends on the audience that the candidate is speaking with.
That's interesting. And, you know, we're seeing concerns about security at the polls and security for clerks. We're seeing local governments in Madison, Racine, Sheboygan raising penalties for people who threaten or harass election workers. What do you make of those moves ahead of November?
I think a lot of people are just trying to figure out what they should do to be prepared for any eventuality because, and this is a national issue where there are clerks being threatened or sent threatening messages all the time, and it's hard for them to filter through which ones are real and which ones are just someone who's angry and may not be in the best mental health space at that time firing off a random email. And when it comes to these kind of things on election day, you can't just ignore them and hope for the best. So they are planning what happens if someone comes in at the polls or one of someone comes into a central count to our clerk's office. And there's new security in a lot of places, both around the election process itself and for the election workers, just because of this environment where there are a lot of people convinced that these people are trying to cheat them and steal their vote, which obviously is not the truth, but you can't convince some of these people otherwise.
And with, I would imagine, with, you know, more than 1,800 clerks, 1,850 clerks, and you've got them in all corners of the state, that would also be a difficult challenge to be able to ensure security in every polling place.
Absolutely. And obviously, there's some of the standard targets in Milwaukee County or the city of Milwaukee or in Dane County. So those are all things that have to be considered.
Talking about state politics and election administration with PBS Wisconsin reporter and anchor Zach Schultz, you can join in ahead of November. How are you feeling about the campaigns, about the election season, and how it's unfolded so far? 800-642-1234. Zach, the Dobbs decision in June, this U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. And in Wisconsin, of course, as we talked earlier, the 1849 near abortion ban taking effect. How are Democrats and Republicans talking about abortion this year?
Well, it's definitely switched somewhat from years past, where in the past, Republicans were more aggressive about all the things they would like to do to limit or eliminate abortion. But now that that's basically the reality, they've switched some of the messaging. And some of the advocacy groups, Right to Life and Pro-Life Wisconsin, have changed their messaging, too. And they're, since they basically won in some respects, they've now shifted to, we're going to support more of these pregnancy centers and helplines and maybe keeping more of these women who might travel out of state for some of their abortion healthcare choices to stay in state and have a baby here. Whereas Democrats are now on the attack, so to speak, about this issue. I was at the Bayview Bash, and the Planned Parenthood booth was right next to the Democratic Party of Milwaukee's booth. And while the Planned Parenthood booth, they weren't handing out T-shirts or anything, that's just literature to, you know, let voters know, hey, we're here, the services are still available other than abortion. It was the booth next door at the Democratic booth where they had all the T-shirts talking about row, row, row your vote and hands off my body. And some of the other things that are messaging around this issue was more directly in line with the Democratic Party and hand in hand with their message of turning out voters and activating voters.
So two booths next to each other, but very different messaging that they're sending out to people, that came up to them.
Absolutely. And it was a coincidence that the booths were placed next to each other. They didn't ask for it, but it allowed the Planned Parenthood activists to focus simply on their mission and their services. What was the Democratic Party playing up? Hey, these people next door, we support them as well. And as voters, we want, if you like them, you should like us.
Any idea what the ruling could mean for voter turnout in November?
It should boost turnout. Obviously, there's been so much attention on Wisconsin elections. We very rarely have a low turnout, but midterms are notoriously lower than presidential. And a lot of times which party wins is which party loses fewer voters from the presidential election. And typically it's the party in power, both nationally and in the state, that has lower turnout. So from a Democratic perspective, this is an issue that they are trying to activate and organize voters around. The question of whether they would actually get some voters who might typically vote Republican to switch and vote for them, that's something they're hoping for as well. But I think more realistically, they just want to boost every potential voter who voted in 2020 to come back and vote in 2022. And the same thing for Republicans. It's all about turnout. Switching voters and winning independents matters, but it's always going to be a base election here in Wisconsin.
So, what else in state politics are you keeping an eye on as we inch closer to November?
Well, what we really want to see is what national groups start playing in Wisconsin. I mean, the airwaves are pretty much inundated to the point where I have my own kids. They watch a little YouTube sometimes, and then they're coming up to me and asking me political questions. So who's this guy? Why is this guy bad? Is he a good guy or a bad guy? I don't get it. So we're overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that's coming in. But we've got Vice President Kamala Harris coming to Milwaukee this week. Will any of the Democrats appear with her? Obviously, when Joe Biden came on Labor Day, the Senate candidate Mandela Barnes was too busy to appear with him. Will Trump come back to Wisconsin? Will that matter? As we get closer, do the parties and the candidates shift to a more rough base turnout, or do they try and stay with some of this moderating message to show I'm going to lead for all of Wisconsin?
Zach, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Zach Schultz is a reporter and anchor for PBS Wisconsin's Here and Now. Ahead on the State Capitol Report, we discuss the state's rules for elections with State Senator Kathy Bernier is here, Republican from Chippewa Falls, head of the Senate Elections Committee. Join in 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.